Birth, Chapter 22. "What's on the agenda?" Riker asked his chief of staff. Actually, she was the previous president's chief of staff, but she knew the system better than anyone. In a way, she was a lifesaver because she kept all the time wasters away and let him know who was supposed to have access to him and who wasn't. Access, in the presidential world, as it turns out, was bought and sold. It was sold by the chief of staff, and it was bought by donors. So, over the centuries, both of them, the precious seconds of the president's time, allowed him to see and hear only that which the chief of staff allowed him to hear. The only time he had to himself, it would seem, was when he was in the shower and when he was asleep, or when he was supposed to be asleep. "You have some legislation to sign, two to veto, and then you have to fly to Florida to help the governor there keep his position. I have your speech right here for you to read, and it will be uploaded to the teleprompters in Orlando," she said, like she had the whole next month planned out. "Legislation? Shouldn't I read it first? I mean, what is it about?" he asked. "These were passed before you were elected. They take a little while to make it to me, and they are now ready for your signature. I just assumed," she began. "Marjorie," he interrupted. He wanted to call her Madge, because she looked like an old TV commercial about dishwashing liquid or something. "If you don't mind, I will read these tonight and make a decision in the morning," he said. "What's this one?" he asked, holding up the top printed and bound document. "Mr. President, if you take the time to read these, we will never get anything done. These were written by experts and processed through Congress and the Senate," she explained. "I'm pretty sure that is backwards," he said. "Bills are written by Congress and passed, and then sent to the Senate and passed, and then to the President for approval. They are not crafted by corporations, printed and bound, and then sent to Congress for their thumbs up. No wonder we have such a mess," he said, holding up the document like he was scolding a junior engineer for cheating on his statistics. Her stare back at him could have etched glass. "What do you want to do, Mr. President?" she asked with a tone that would have meant he was in the doghouse if he didn't have a 4-year get-out-of-the-doghouse-free card. "I want to..." He paused for a moment and put the document back on the pile on the table outside the Oval Office. "I'm going to take a few moments to make some calls. Excuse me. Hadid?" he said, glancing at his trusted agent, dismissing Marjorie to go back to her calendar-making. "I'll be back in 1 hour," he said, as he walked through the Oval Office doorway being held open by Hadid. Once he heard the door click behind them, Riker began to speak. "Hadid, I need to..." Hadid had interrupted him with a hand up, saying stop. He pointed up, made a sign that someone was listening, and motioned for him to follow. Riker moved quietly, as though tiptoeing on plush carpet would make it even quieter. "Find a good cigar in this town. Could you give me a few moments to look one up?" he said, in deception of his own. Hadid held his magnetic card up to the wainscot panel in the Oval Office. It thumped softly and cracked open to swing into the room. He ducked under the chair rail, as did Riker, and they entered a passageway. Hadid secured the door behind them, and they walked for a few yards to a small seating area with 6 soft chairs and a small round table in the center. "Who knows where this leads to from here?" he thought. Hadid motioned for him to sit and began speaking. "Mr. President, we need to go to Camp David as soon as possible." "Why Camp David?" "The team you have requested will arrive there soon. They have a slight detour to Gulfport, Mississippi, to pick up a young boy," explained Hadid. "Why? Who is he?" asked Riker. "Besides being the son of a very close friend, he is in mortal danger for what he has seen. He witnessed the event that let us know that the prophecy has begun to unfold," Hadid said in a very measured tone. "They will arrive within 2 hours. 2 hours? Why can't they come here?" asked Riker, trying to figure things out in his mind. "There is a special secure complex there. Once we are inside, we will be safe." What do you mean safe? Asked Riker. This is the safest 10 acres on Earth. Mr. President, there are ancient forces at work here that are responsible for that endless battle you were talking about this morning. We are here to stop them, he said. Stop them from doing what? Asked Riker, almost not wanting to know. Stop them from taking what does not belong to them. Like what? Every soul on this planet, said Hadid. Summon Marine One and let us go to Camp David. John and Enoch will join us on the lawn. We have to move now, Mr. President. They stood up and walked back to the panel, opened it from the inside, and walked into the Oval Office. Once the panel was secure, Riker opened the outer door and walked past Marjorie's desk. I want Marine One on the lawn in 30 minutes, Marjorie. Can you make that happen? Said Riker dryly. He had to establish himself as the alpha male sometime in this term. Yes, Mr. President, she said, realizing that she had just been given some marching orders. He walked with long strides, but not to look like rushing. He was focused now on reaching his private quarters. Hadid matched his stride as they could feel the somewhat stale air of the White House on their faces. He needed a couple of things. He had the feeling he wasn't coming back anytime soon.